Tamara Keith, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
Now, you have an Ohio connection. You worked at WOSU in Columbus back in 2004. You know, it always seems like people do pay attention to Ohio, especially during elections. I mean, is that still true? Do you have a sense that we're still important here in Ohio?
You guys are still important there in Ohio.
Okay, good.
Yes, of course. Of course, you're still one of the battleground states. But, you know, in this past election, Ohio was sort of a foregone conclusion at a relatively early stage, which probably meant a few fewer visits, though, you know, as I was following Hillary Clinton's campaign around, certainly paid quite a few visits near the end there, especially to the Cleveland area.
You spent the whole campaign with Clinton, and now we know more about what was happening during that time. I mean, the Russians were flooding social media with lies about Hillary. Do you think it made a difference?
Oh, that's a tough question. And one for which, you know, I don't think that we will ever 100% truly know the answer. This election was decided in three states by fewer than 100,000 votes combined. Were people swayed? Were, you know, the indictment also talks about Russian efforts to depress African-American voter turnout. Did that have an effect?
It's like advertising. You know that... right. People do it because it works, right? I mean, it's hard to measure, but they wouldn't do it if it didn't have an effect, I would imagine.
Well, you know, for Russia, it was sort of a low risk, relatively low cost. I mean, more than $1 million a month, but still relatively low cost effort that potentially had great effect. So there was a lot of upside for Russia.
It seems like it's been a pretty crazy year for Washington reporters. What would you say is the hardest thing about covering the White House right now?
Truly, it can be hard to know when to schedule a doctor's appointment or when to let your guard down, when to go to sleep, because the onslaught of news has been just truly incredible.
Can you help us understand what it's like to be trying to cover this, I don't know, roller coaster that we're all undergoing right now? I mean, what's it like?
Yeah, I mean, there are just so many different threads and so many different stories. And, you know, being a White House correspondent under any circumstance is a high stress, long hours, you never know when news might break out kind of a job. But it's amplified by this president and this White House, in part because the public has a really intense interest in everything that President Trump does, in part because President Trump fosters that interest by being utterly unpredictable and tweeting things at any given time or making announcements or changing his position on things. You know, we've been at this for a little more than a year with President Trump, and no real rhythm has developed. And then you add the Mueller investigation and sort of outside forces like that, and it is definitely an exciting time.
We're cursed with living in interesting times.
Exactly.
But how do you stay sane in what is apparently an insane world in Washington right now? And you're in the middle of it.
So I would say two things. One, I exercise as much as possible.
Okay.
Which is a good stress relief. And the other thing that I think is more important is that it's my job, right? Like, for everyday citizens, regular people who have other jobs and are also really consumed with everything that's happening in Washington, that's like an added burden in sort of on your psyche. But luckily for me, it's my job. I only have one thing to focus on. And so when I'm not working, I'm not, I, you know, except that I'm always working.
Yeah, you're always working.
But, you know, I have a certain emotional detachment from it all because it's, you know, I'm a reporter covering a beat and this is my job.
If you could slow things down if to a semi-normal pace, is there a story that you would like to see more coverage of? Are there other things happening that just get lost? Maybe what would you say is the most underreported story coming out of the White House?
It's a good question.
Or even Washington.
And what's happening in the agencies is important, and we are reporting on it at NPR. My colleagues on the national desk are reporting from time to time on what's happening at the EPA or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and some of these other parts of the government.
When you say things that are happening at these agencies, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, the things that I've reported on, so obviously it's not completely underreported, is just that at the highest levels of these agencies, they are really woefully understaffed, that the president and the Trump administration simply haven't appointed people for some pretty important jobs, like all the way up to including the ambassador to South Korea, who hasn't yet been named. And, you know, we've got some issues over in that region, certainly. So there is sort of a hollowing that has happened of, you know, the political appointees aren't in there necessarily like they would be at this point in other administrations. And career staff are demoralized and retiring and quitting at higher rates. And some of that is by design. And you know, some of that is you have a change of administration. You have a change from a Democratic administration to a Republican administration. And there are people who don't agree with a Republican administration. And a Republican president and Republican administration, you know, philosophically wants to starve the beast. The question with it all is whether it's strategic.
Yeah, it just seem intentional or just neglect or both.
Right. Or both. And it seems as though it's probably a combination, but it's hard to figure out, you know, the proportions.
Well, the NPR Politics podcast is coming to Cleveland on Friday. And what can our audience expect to see?
The crew of people who are coming, it's Scott Detrow, who hosts the podcast with me, Asma Khalid, who had been part of the NPR Politics crew through 2016, did some really awesome reporting, swore off of politics, and then we dragged her back in, and also Domenico Montanaro, who is one of our editors and is a really fun guy. So the four of us will be on stage. We will be talking about, well, we have plans of sort of like, you know, philosophical, deeper conversations, long-term thinky things to talk about. But what are the odds that it gets blown up by news?
Pretty good.
So we are keeping an open mind about what we'll actually end up discussing.
So what are some of the philosophical things that you would like to discuss?
Yeah, and maybe philosophical is a little too highfalutin, but
nuts and bolts, you know, or whatever it is, shop
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, I mean, I think that things that we're thinking about is, you know, the divisions in our country and where we are with that, the gun debate, and whether these young people in Florida are moving it in a way that, you know, others have not been able to move it. And I think that's a very much an open question at this point. The big thinky question is, you know, are our politics broken? And one could also ask, you know, the Russians wanted to sow discord in the American political system. Are we helping them?
Yeah. Did they
all
succeed?
Of us.
Right.
You know, they came in at a time where there was the ground was pretty well tilled.
Yeah, they threw gasoline on the fire. Lots of metaphors.
To mix every metaphor we possibly can.
Well, Tamara Keith, thank you so much. We really look forward to hosting you in Cleveland and the podcast crew. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing you there.